take our copy of the scriptures in and turn back to Psalm 18. Our focus this afternoon, Lord willing, will be on verses 28 to 50, and we'll read those now. Our sermon title this afternoon is Christ Victorious Over All. Psalm 18, verses 28 to 50. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the truth. For by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but He did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praise to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants evermore. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, what a great privilege, Lord, it is to be under the ministry of your word. For, Lord, you have not left us in the dark. You have turned the light on. You have put darkness away from us. You have enlightened our path. And you have done it, Lord, through your proven and perfected word. It's perfect, Lord, because it comes from you. Father, now would you use that word, as it is read and as it is preached, to speak to your people comfort and joy and victory. All of this in your Son, Christ Jesus. In His name we do pray. Amen. So far in Psalm 18, we have been looking at David and his greater son Jesus. First of all, in their love for God and God's love for them. We have looked at the righteous acts of David towards Saul and the inherent righteousness of David's greater son, Jesus Christ. Now today we are going to look at the victories of Christ, David's greater son. David had victory over Saul and his enemies, and these were great victories. And that's what this psalm is about. This psalm is about David's victory over Saul and his enemies. In its historical account, in David's experience, this is what this is all about. But it has a greater purpose, and that is to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ and His victories. And it is in these victories of Christ that we also are made victorious. And I want you to remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come. All are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. This victory that is David's, this victory of David's that points to Jesus' victory over all things, is also your victory when you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's statement is one of a victory statement. It is a statement meant to focus your heart and mind on what is yours in Christ who belongs to God. And if you are in Christ, and Christ is God's, then you are God's as well. You are in the Lord. Verses 28 to 50 are all about a celebration of victory. David writes these words on the day that the Lord delivered him from Saul and his enemies. This was not a boast of David's. It was not, look and see what the great King David has done. It was a boast in the Lord, like Paul said. Not to boast in men, but in the Lord. It was a boast of the Lord's strength and the victory that he gave to David. This psalm, while it is about David, does not find its greatest fulfillment in David. It finds its greatest fulfillment in God's mighty power to deliver Christ and to deliver you in Christ. And so when we sing Psalm 18, that should be our thinking. That here was God working in the life of David, giving him victory over his enemies. But God is also pointing me to look at Jesus and see the victory that God gave him over his enemies, and then also to see that in Jesus Christ, I am also a victor and an overcomer. And it should encourage us and strengthen us in our faith in the Lord, in our daily walk. Not just that we sit here and worship the Lord. And when we go out of this place and we go to live in this world, we need to have it on our minds that Christ has already won the victory for us. That we ought to be a people who rejoice. We ought to be a people who are glad. Not only on the Lord's day, but the other days as well. Because we in Christ have been made victorious as well. And that should impact how you live. That should impact how you work. Should impact how you parent. How you as a child obey the Lord. All these things should be impacted by the fact that Jesus Christ has won the victory for you over sin, death, and the devil forever. It makes a difference. This is not just gaining knowledge here. It makes a difference in how you live when you really grasp these truths. As we look at this passage, I want us to see three divisions in this passage which point us to Jesus Christ and His victory over all His enemies. First, in verses 28 to 36, we are going to see David and his greater son Jesus were trusting God for this victory. They were trusting God for this victory. And then in verses 37 to 45, we're going to see that David and his greater son Jesus tell the tale of the victory. They testify of this victory. And then verses 46 to 50, we'll see that David and his greater son Jesus give thanks for the victory. These verses are meant to strengthen us so that we, like David and like Jesus, can do likewise. To trust God, to testify, to tell the tale of victory, and to give thanks for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. So let's first go to verses 28 to 36. We have already read them. But in these verses, we see that David and Jesus Christ trusting in God for the victory. You cannot read these verses and not get a sense that David is joyful, that he is fired up because God has shown himself strong in his life. When you think about what David was going through, and now that God has conquered all his enemies, you can see why David is very excited to display and to declare his trust in the Lord. In verses 28 to 30, David declares with exuberance his confidence in the Lord. And I want you to get the gist of these three verses. What David is saying, because the Lord has, I can. Because the Lord has done this, I can do this. Because the Lord has enlightened my darkness and turned on that light on me, by you, he says in verse 29, I can run against a troop. He's not saying I can run against a soldier. He's not saying I can run against one guy. You could do that without the Lord. Well, David is saying, I can run against a whole band of soldiers. I can defeat a whole band of soldiers by the Lord. By you, I can. Also in verse 29, he says, by my God, I can leap over a wall. Now, in our day, we don't think much about walls. But walls were used to protect the whole city, to protect families and so forth from enemies. And David is saying, I could leap over that wall by the power of God, by the strength that He provides for me. Not even a wall which was used to stop whole armies, David is saying, could stop me, because the power of the Lord is battling for me. David knew that God had promised him by His word that he would be king. And he knew that God's word was perfect and that it could be trusted, because God is truth, as we talked about this morning. And so David is excited, he is exuberant, and he is displaying his trust and confidence in the Lord for these victories that He has given him. And he also tells us that God is a shield to all who trust in Him. What David has experienced, he's saying, this can be your experience as well. The last part of verse 30, he says, He is a shield to all who trust in Him. David is speaking principally here. He's saying, I've trusted in Him and He's been my shield, and He will be a shield to you if you trust in Him. He will do for you what He has promised, and you can trust in Him. In verses 31 to 36, David continues displaying this trust, exalting the Lord and His strength that He gives to David. Look at verse 31. For who is God except the Lord? Who is our rock except our God? The answer to these questions is no one. There's no one else. There's no one else who can help me to leap over a wall. There's no one else who can help me to defeat a whole band of troops. There's no one else who's going to turn the light on in my life and show me the way. There's no one else who can be trusted to deliver you from your enemies. And the verses that follow speak to all the ways that God works in the life of David. In verses 32 to 36, He strengthens him. He makes his way perfect, and this means to make his way sound and strong. And these are battle terms you have to remember. David's talking about the trouble, the battles that he's been in with his enemy. So when he talks like this, he's talking about how he prepares him for war. He gives him feet like a deer, which is great balance and nimbleness to move. He sets him on high places. And for a military advantage, the high place is always the better ground, because you can see everything your enemy's doing. It's harder for him to get up and attack you, and easier for you to come down upon him. So the Lord sets him in a high place, a better place. The Lord teaches his hands to make war. He gives him skill for the battle. He strengthens him for the fight. He saves him from his enemies. He did not let him fall in battle. Verse 36 says, "You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. You've made it so I am on solid ground, so that when I am feeding or fighting, my feet do not slip." And in all this, David gives all the glory to God for every aspect of the battle. Not once does he allude to his own abilities, to his own strength, but to the mighty power and strength of the Lord. David knew that all his strength came from the Lord. He knew that all his victories came from the Lord. And just as David trusted God for these victories, so did the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater Son. As the God-man, when Jesus came to this earth, He was dependent upon God for all things. Jesus was strengthened by God and trusted in God for victory over all His enemies. I want you to listen to these accounts in the New Testament that give testimony to this. In Matthew chapter 4, during his temptation in their wilderness, he relied on that perfect and proven Word of God, saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And even after he was tempted, what happened? God sent His angels to minister to Jesus after he was tempted. After he was worn down, He sent His angels to strengthen him. Jesus was depending on the Father for all His victories. In John chapter 5, verse 17 to 30, Jesus stated that He only does what the Father does. The Father granted the Son to have life in Himself. And Jesus said the Son can do nothing of Himself but from the Father. Do you see this trust? Do you see that every step that Jesus took, He was trusting in the Father? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22, an angel appeared from heaven to strengthen Him. This is not to say that Jesus was weak. This was to say that Jesus was a real man. And here on earth, he needed the strength of God. John 14:10 tells us, "It is the Father who dwells in me," Jesus said, "who does the works." That's what David was saying. It is God's strength doing my battling. And this is what Jesus is saying. It is the Father who dwells in me who does the works. In Acts 10:38, the apostle speaks this way, saying, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." God was with him. Jesus was relying on God. And while he was on the cross, this was even mockingly said of him. His enemy said, "He trusted in God. Let him now deliver, if he will, have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Did Jesus trust in God? Yes, he did. They were right about this. He did trust in God, and God would deliver him. He trusted God to deliver him from death after he had finished what he came to do. As he was dying to gain the victory over sin, death, and the devil, Jesus said, "It is finished." He had accomplished all that God sent him to do. And after that, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Even on the cross and even in death, Jesus was trusting in God's strength. Why did he say, "I commit my spirit"? If Jesus was not trusting in God's strength, if it wasn't for God's strength, Jesus would have stayed in the grave. But it was the power of God that raised him from the dead. And Jesus was trusting in that victory over the grave. Acts 2:24 tells us this, "Whom God raised up," speaking of Jesus, "having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." The grave could not hold Jesus. The tomb could not hold Jesus. He was trusting in God during his whole life on earth, trusting him to strengthen him, trusting him to deliver him from the grave. Jesus was able to say with David, "By my God, I can," and he did. He did run against a band of enemies. He was always running against a band of enemies. He did leap over the wall of death. The grave could not hold him. And God's right hand did hold him up, and God did not let him slip, just as he did not let David. As the strength of David's victories was God, so it is for Jesus Christ. And so it is for your victory as well. So we now go from what the Lord will do to what he has done, to what David knew the Lord would do and what he would enable him to do. To speaking in the past tense, now David starts to tell us to tell God what God has done. And you may think, why is David doing this in verses, as we look at verse 37 to 45? Why is David telling the Lord what the Lord has done? Well, don't you do that when you pray? Don't you think of all the things that the Lord has done for you and recount those back to him, giving him thanks and giving him praise? Lord, you have done this. Lord, you have done this. It is in our heart to do that because we know it is the Lord who has given us the victory. And in a sense, David is telling the tale of the victory. Look and see what the Lord has done. And what the Lord has done for David, he has done in greater proportions for Christ and for you. That's what you need to see here. In verses 37 to 45. David says, "All these things I have done because of your strength." These verses tell us over and over again the victories David has had over his enemies. Listen to these words. And I'm just going to summarize these verses. He overtook his enemies. He destroyed his enemies. He wounded them. He subdued them. He beat them. He cast them out like dirt in the streets. And all these descriptions are using strong words because the Lord takes no prisoners. Those who rebel against the Lord, those who will not come under the Lord's submission to him as king, he takes no prisoners. He does not leave any behind. He utterly defeats his enemies. Those who will not repent and be translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his Son will be destroyed. Jesus also told the tale of victory. You may recall that he went about telling his disciples after his resurrection, what God had done in the cross and the resurrection. Listen to what Jesus did after His resurrection from the grave, from that grave that could not hold Him. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, the Bible tells us He showed Himself to over 500 people. After being crucified, after having these marks in His body, after being buried in the tomb, He rose again and showed Himself to over 500 people, showing Himself to have victory over His enemies. And I don't believe that Jesus was just walking around and just letting people look at Him. I believe Jesus was telling them, this is what the Lord has done. This is what the Lord has done. In Luke 24, verses 13 to 27, we read this account of Jesus telling the tale of victory. He found these disciples walking along and He joined up with them. And the Scripture tells us this, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know Him. And He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? And after they told Him of their hope that Jesus was the Messiah, and after He was crucified and died and was raised again, they talked about this and they said, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but Him they did not see. These disciples weren't encouraged by what had happened so far. But here was Jesus coming to them to tell the tale of victory. He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Jesus went back to those disciples and told them all that the Scripture had prophesied about Him, all the victories that were prophesied about Him, all the things that the Lord was going to accomplish in Him. And He says, ought not the Christ who had suffered these things to enter His glory? And what Jesus was speaking about in glory, He was speaking about His victory. His victory. He endured that suffering that He might have the victory. This is the telling of the tale of victory. And Jesus did this even to His Heavenly Father. In John 17:4, He said, I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work You have given Me to do. He was telling His Father, I have done these things that You have given Me to do. Let me expand on this tale of victory a little bit. The reason about the Psalm 18 verses 37 to 45. The reason we have this here portrayed like this is that military victors, after they had won a battle, they would often parade through towns. And they would show the cities what they had accomplished. And one of the ways that they showed the cities what they had accomplished was oftentimes they would even bring prisoners or even leaders and generals or even kings of those nations, and they would parade around with them showing their power and strength to the people. So let us take a victory tour with Jesus through the New Testament and start really with the Old. In Genesis 3, verses 14 to 15, as we looked at this morning, we were told that there would be a victor, and there would be a victory. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And she shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. He shall bruise your head was the prophecy of victory of Jesus Christ over the devil. Jesus defeated Satan throughout His whole life, not just on the cross. If He would have waited till then, He never would have got to the cross. It wasn't his whole life that he was battling Satan and defeating him. From birth to adulthood, he lived his life without sin. That is why God said, after Jesus' baptism, after he had come out of his youth and now was being prepared for his public ministry, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus never sinned in his young life, in his youth. He defeated Satan during the wilderness temptation. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that we have a great high priest who is tempted in all ways, yet always like us, yet without sin. He defeated Satan during his public ministry. We may think that Satan's temptation ended that day in the wilderness, but the Scripture tells us it didn't, that he was waiting for more, to do more later. Well, listen to what happened to Jesus. Some of his own disciples withstood him. Simon Peter withstood him when Jesus told them that he would be crucified. Peter said, "Not so, Lord. This will not happen to you." And do you recall what Jesus said to him? "Get thee behind me, Satan." There was temptation. There was resistance from the devil. John 7, verse 3 and 5 tells us that Jesus' half-brothers challenged him to go into Judea and to show himself and his great works if he really wants to be known. And after, just right after that, the Scripture tells us they didn't even believe in him. This was a temptation to promote himself ahead of God's plan, if he really wants to be known. And the religious rulers were constantly testing him to see if he would sin against the law, such as that time that they brought the woman who was caught in adultery. They tested him to see if he would sin. And he did not. Jesus was still without sin. Jesus defeated Satan all his life and his angels at the cross. John 16:11 tells us that just before going to the cross, Jesus said, "The ruler of this world has been judged." Jesus defeated Satan in the resurrection. Hebrews 2:14 tells us that through death, he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. It was through Christ's death and his resurrection that he destroyed the power of death and the devil. And one of the greatest ways that Jesus defeats Satan in the lives of those who are trusting in him is found in Colossians 1:13, where it tells us that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This coincides with what Psalm 18 verse 43 says, "You have made me the head of nations. A people I have not known shall serve me." We are those people. We are those ones whom God has taken, who did not know him, and God was not our God, but he has become our God and we his people. Jesus will complete his defeat of Satan, as we would read in Revelation 20, verse 10, that he cast him and his angels into the lake of fire forever. Not only has Jesus defeated Satan in all these ways, he has defeated death, as is stated in 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 57. Death has lost its sting. Death has lost its victory because Christ has defeated death. And as is stated in Romans chapter 8, Jesus has defeated sin. I remember years ago that in the world of rock music, and this seems, it became a trend, but it seems that if a music group had been off the scene for a little bit, that they would come back and they would call this their victory tour. I don't know what rock groups, what victory they have over anything, and it was really nothing. But what I've just explained to you is a victory tour of Jesus Christ. He has victory over all these things. And it is real. And we could go on and on about this victory, about the tale of the victory of Jesus Christ. There is no end to it in Scripture. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 28:18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And Acts 2:34 tells us that now he is seated at the right hand of God as our King and King over all things. Jesus tells us the tale of the triumph. The Scriptures tell the tale of the triumph. And that's what David was doing. "Look at what you've done, Lord. You have done all these things. You have given me this victory. And that those victories of David's point us to these victories of Christ, which are our victories in Jesus Christ. So what do you do when something so great, so fabulous, so wonderful has been given to you and given you victory? The natural thing is to worship God. The natural thing is to thank God for these victories. And that's what David does. And that's what we'll see that Jesus does as well. In verses 46 to 50, we see David and his greater son, Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God for the victory. And while David experienced great victory and great reason to give thanks for his victory, his greater son, Jesus, had a greater reason to give thanks because he had more to be thankful for. The enemy of Jesus was greater than the enemy of David. The victory of Jesus was greater than the victory of David. And the result of Jesus' victory was greater than David's result. And all these things that were true about David, they were greater about Jesus Christ, his greater son. So we have much to rejoice about because of this. We can join in with David and we can join in with Jesus in worshiping God and giving Him thanks. In verses 46 to 49, we see David praising and thanking God for His deliverance. He tells us the Lord is not like other gods. He's not made of stone or wood. His God is alive. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. His God is alive. And that's why he's praising him, because he gives him strength and power and he gives him victory. As we continue to read, it is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up against above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. And for all these things in verse 49, he says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. David is so exuberantly thankful, so grateful for all the victories that God has given him, that he wouldn't keep his mouth shut even amongst the unbelieving Gentiles. Well, sometimes that's not me. I'm so ready and willing to give thanks to the Lord amongst you. But sometimes when we get out there in the world, we're not so much. But we still have all the cause in the world. We have all the reason in the world to give thanks for God and the victories that He's given to us. And here David says, I'll give you praise right in the face of my enemies among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Jesus does this same thing. Jesus also gives praise to God among the Gentiles. Paul gives us a greater quote, a greater understanding of Psalm 18. These last few verses in Romans 15:9. He gives a greater sense of it saying this, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. Paul is not only speaking the fact that about David, he is quoting him here, but he's saying there's more to it than that. They're praising the Lord because the Gentiles are being brought to God and rejoicing with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that greater rejoicing in victory in Jesus Christ. And lastly, in verse 50, David clearly points us to Jesus, as Jesus is the greater King and has the greater deliverance. And this deliverance is to the Lord's anointed, who is David and who is Christ, and to his descendants forever. This great blessing of victory for which is given thanks here is much more than David's deliverance from Saul. This deliverance speaks of a greater deliverance, a greater victory, and a greater result. David was a king while he was here on earth. Jesus is king forever over all the world. And the descendants of David, those who by faith trust in King Jesus, have an eternal victory over sin, death, and the devil forever. But it's not something that we have to wait for eternity to start. We have that victory now. This psalm is about David, but more so it's about Jesus Christ and His victory and your victory in Christ. You are His descendants. You are the ones who by faith in Jesus Christ share in this great victory It is yours and it is for you. This psalm is not about you, but the impact on your life is great. This psalm is about David. It is about Christ. It is about those who are in Christ having this great victory delivered to them. And you are His descendants if you have so learned Jesus. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the descendants who will be blessed forever that we see here in the last part of verse 15. Great deliverance He gives to His king and shows mercy to His anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. By faith in Jesus Christ, you are the descendants of this passage. You are the ones who have received the victory. And so let us, with David and his greater son, Jesus Christ, trust in God's strength for victory, tell the tale of the victory, and give thanks for the victory that we have over sin, death, and hell forever, and the devil. Victory over all our enemies in Jesus Christ. And we will be with Christ, celebrating His glory forever. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we cannot thank You enough for giving to us the victory over all these things as we are united to Christ. Lord, help us also to recognize that if we are not united to Christ, this victory is not ours, but defeat is ours. Defeat at the hands of Christ, who will destroy all His enemies ultimately. Lord, if we are not sharing in union with Christ, call us, we ask today, to repent of our sin and draw us to Yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us, Lord, who have learned Christ and are in Christ, help us, Lord, to celebrate this victory that we have in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.